Egypt's former president, Hosni Mubarak, is dead at the age of 91, according to Egyptian state television. For many Egyptians, Mubarak was a symbol of all that was wrong with their country. His nearly 30-year rule is remembered as a time of political repression, widespread corruption, and economic stagnation for everyone but an elite few. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson reports from Cairo.
Most Egyptians who took to the streets in early 2011 seeking Mubarak's ouster weren't even born when the former military pilot first became president, like 28-year-old Nazli Hussein.
My grandmother's exactly the same age as Hosni Mubarak, and I always think of her running the country, of her meeting my needs and my demands, and it's impossible. He was really out of touch with people's demands, with people's aspirations, with people's even people's aspirations for the country. He did not meet any of them.
The disconnect between the Egyptian people and their longest-serving leader since the 19th century grew over time. Yet as long as his tenure was, Mubarak's legacy is uninspiring compared to his predecessor, Anwar Sadat, who plucked him from the ranks of the Egyptian Air Force and made him vice president. Sadat stunned the Arab world by signing a historic peace accord with Israel. But such boldness only reinforced Mubarak's caution, especially after Sadat was assassinated on October 6, 1981.
After stun grenades had been tossed at the platform, soldiers from the top of the truck opened fire.
Islamist assassins, enraged by his recognition of the Jewish state, shot the president before Mubarak's eyes as the men watched a military parade. This archival news account from the BBC was posted on YouTube.
In the turmoil on the platform, Vice President Hosni Mubarak is hustled away. There are shouts that Sadat has been hit, and Mubarak, the man groomed to succeed him, is afforded special attention.
The attack, which also wounded Mubarak, helped shape his agenda as the new president. He made security an absolute priority, arresting and imprisoning Islamists and their supporters across the country. Analyst Diyar Ashwan says people forget that many Egyptians were happy when he first took office. They supported his tough stance on Islamists, who in the 90s launched a campaign of attacks on government officials and foreign tourists.
When Hosni Mubarak came, he came under very difficult conditions. A president was assassinated, and he succeeded to have his legitimacy from mainly the Egyptian establishment, from the Egyptian army, and also from his first measures.
Mubarak released some of the more secular prisoners arrested by Sadat. He transformed Egypt into a market economy, opening up the country to badly needed loans and foreign investors. The new president also spoke of political reform, promising to serve only 2 6-year terms. But Mubarak broke that promise when he ran for a third term in 1993. 6 years later, he ran for a fourth term. Arbitrary arrests and other civil rights abuses were rampant as he continued his crackdown against the Islamists. Eventually, U.S. administrations began to pressure the Egyptian leader, finding his support of Israel and stance against terrorism did not mitigate his human rights abuses at home. In 2005, Mubarak declared that Egypt's constitution would be amended to allow for the country's first multi-candidate presidential election. But that only stirred up more Egyptian protests. Participants campaigned explicitly against Mubarak for the first time, shouting kafaya, the Arabic word for enough. Nevertheless, Mubarak at age 77 ran for a fifth term with a slick and expensive political campaign organized by his powerful younger son, Gamal. The elder Mubarak is heard here through a translator.
I would never ever let Egypt down. And for this sake, I announce that I am determined to be nominating myself in the coming presidential elections.
Despite earlier promises of more openness, observers say the election was marred by widespread fraud and intimidation. Not surprisingly, Mubarak cruised to an easy victory and pledged economic and social reforms. Yet analyst Mohammed Said says by this point, Egyptians didn't expect any follow-through.
We have a rampant corruption. We have a society that is totally alienated. Well, unfortunately, he was never really a philosopher, but he was not even the kind of wise man that he could have been if he continued the way he started in his first tenure of office.
Corruption raged during Mubarak's latter years in office. His allies in government and business became wealthy through graft and shady deals, and many lower-ranking civil servants demanded bribes from Egyptians seeking services. Joblessness was also a growing problem. The most popular jobs for young Egyptian men who didn't emigrate were with the security forces, which operated with impunity. In a 2008 documentary aired by the Al Jazeera channel, analyst Osama Harb noted that in a country of 70 million people, there was a policeman for roughly every 40 Egyptians.
850,000 officers and soldiers, 450,000 state security forces, 400,000 secret police. This is a president who's relying on an internal army in addition to the army itself.
Weeks after the revolution in nearby Tunisia in January 2011, Egyptians took their frustrations to the streets and confronted the security forces. Nearly 900 protesters were killed before the police fled their posts. The dreaded state security force that was pivotal in Mubarak's campaign to quash his enemies was ultimately disbanded. Mubarak tried offering concessions. He appointed intelligence chief Omar Suleiman as his first ever vice president. He also promised not to stand for re-election or to promote his son Gamal for the office. But the protesters wouldn't relent. They wanted Mubarak gone, and under pressure from them and the military from which he came, he resigned in February 2011. In June 2012, he was convicted for having a role in those deaths and sentenced to life in prison. Analyst and author Hugh Roberts believes Mubarak will be remembered most for spearheading Egypt's long and slow atrophy.
Sadat, in some ways, had acquired a certain charisma precisely because he did have big ideas. And I think that, in a way, if Mubarak drew a lesson from Sadat's experience, it was that it's safer not to have big ambitions in terms of shaking things up.
But protester Nazli Hussein says she'll also remember the former leader for uniting Egyptians to fight for their rights.
Had it not been for Hosni Mubarak's presence, people would not have been united. And by the end of the day, it was really obvious that these people are not going to go home until they bring him down.
Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Cairo.
NPR's Peter Kenyon contributed to this report.